One annual activity any person with an automobile in Spain needs to carry out is the feared ITV test, which stands for Inspección Técnica de Vehículo. In English, I guess it's just the car inspection or something like that. In the UK, they call it the MOT or the MOT test. I guess they'll call it the MOT test, which for a while I was trying to think what that meant. Was like motor operating test or something, until I realized MOT stood for Ministry of Transportation. And anyway, they have their annual test. In the States, as far as I know, there's no real equivalent. It's not federally mandated. So every state has its own requirements and tests. When I was living in Connecticut many years ago, we just called it the emissions test. And you just pulled up and they checked the car's emissions. And that was about it. That was the beginning and end of it. But the Spanish test, in adherence with many European specifications, and I'm sure it's like this in most countries of the European Union, is decidedly a more rigorous examination. And it can be summed up in one idea. It tests the vehicle's roadworthiness as well as the driver's nerves as you attempt to go through the motions as cool and collected as possible, even though you're sort of freaking out inside, convinced that something's either wrong with your car or wrong with you. It's not really unlike going through the passport control at JFK Airport. Now, I say this is an annual event, but that's not really true. It depends on the age of your car. And new cars from 0 to 4 years, I believe, are exempt from the inspection. Then from 5 to 10 years, you have to get it inspected every 2 years. And after that, it's done every year. Now, since my car is currently 18 years old, you could say that I now go by a first name basis with the people at the inspection center. Now, that may sound like it's really old, but consider this. The average age of a car in Spain is about 14.5 years old, and a third of all vehicles in this country are over 20 years. I thought this was a big difference from the United States, but it turns out that in the U.S., the average age is on the rise and has now currently reached about 13 years. Cars are getting more expensive, life is getting more expensive, and people tend to be stretching out that ownership as long as they can. On top of that, I haven't even done, I don't think, 100,000 miles on my car yet, so even though it's old in terms of years, it's still, in terms of use, not that bad. Anyway, as I was saying, the inspection is a very, very thorough look at the state of your car, both on the inside and the outside. And let me tell you what it's about in a little bit here. I'll tell you about my last trip was done just about a month ago. Now, to start off, the first thing you need to do is sort of make sure your car is in shape, pretty much good enough to get there and be fine. You want to check the tires to see that they're in good condition or at least decent condition. They aren't bald or anything like that. Make sure your lights are working, all of them. The wipers need to have their wiper fluid. The horn should work. The windshield should be free of cracks and things of that nature. Another one might be your seat belts. Make sure they're all working. Anyway, then you make an appointment online usually or by phone. I go to the same place. It's up in the mountains. I go to the same place every year. And so they have my phone number and they just send me a text message about a few weeks before my inspection limit is up. And they remind me that if I want to go back there, I can do that, which is what I did. I went back to the same places, which is sort of good to do because if you repeat, you usually get a good discount on the inspection. I think it cost me about 55 euros, but I got mine reduced to 38 or something. So, you know, in that sense, it's worth going back to the same place. And so that's what I usually do. I mean, you can actually show up and just get your test done without getting an appointment, but I like to get one if I can, Usually, and a lot of times, I will get some preference, priority there when I get there, but not always, as you'll see. Anyway, then I went over to the inspection center, and it, as I said, I like to go to this place because it's in a small town. It's not usually too crowded, though in August, I think more people go than at other times of year. And the only issue I have is that it's a small one, so it has two lines at most for inspections. And if one of them happens to be closed for whatever reason, it's just one line. So it doesn't really matter if you have an appointment or not. We're all going through the same line. And that's what happened to me this time. I had to wait about 45 minutes longer than I should have just to get my inspection started. Once that happened, I gave the inspector my documentation. What they need is the car's registration and technical inspection card. That's the one that they will stamp every time you do the inspection. They also say that they sometimes ask for an insurance receipt, although I've done this test many, many times and I've never had them ask me for that. And then the inspector will start to take a look around the car to see if it's looking okay. Oh, another thing you should probably do before you go is wash the car. Take it through give it a good wash before you get there. It's not going to save you necessarily, but you know, it gives a good first impression and that might help. Anyway, they take a look at the car, they look at the license plate, and the make, the model. They want to make sure that the chassis number, the serial number matches the documentation, and they'll check it in different places because it's underneath the seat, it's in underneath the hood, and things like that. So they'll take a look at that at first. They'll check for corrosion on safety elements. You can have a dent here and there, or some scratches. Anything minor won't be an issue, but if there's some sort of damage to the car that they feel is going to be a safety issue, they could bring that up with you. They look at the bumpers, the mirrors, the windshield wipers, check for the fluid, and then they'll go inside the car, check the seat belts, make sure the rear view mirrors are okay. Believe it or not, for example, I had that flap on the passenger side that has a little mirror there. That had come off, and I hadn't had a chance to fix it. But that's not an issue because that flap, that mirror, in theory, does not affect my vision as a driver. And then what did we do? We did the emissions testing. They stuck that little thing into the exhaust pipe, tested that, and I had to accelerate to a certain number of revolutions. Which I get pretty stressed out about these things to try to keep at the same number of revolutions so they could check if that was going okay. Then they checked the lights, the lightings, they checked the low beams, the high beams. In fact, they want to see if everything is going in the right direction. For example, my lights for the low beams were a little bit higher than they should have been, and that's because I have that I can adjust that on my lights, and I had inadvertently done that, so we had to fix that before they could check it again. It was fine. They checked for the blinkers, the hazards, the fog lights, the parking lights, the brake lights, the reverse lights, and even the lights that light up your license plate at night. And I tell you why that's important, because one of the only times, in fact, I think it's the only time that I was semi-rejected, was that those two light bulbs in the back license plate were not lit up. They had burned out, and I had to get that taken care of, and I had to return to show them that it was okay. So they're pretty strict there. I mean, even something as minor as that, as having two light bulbs for your license plate burned out, they will call you out for that and make you come back. So I can assure you that every year when I have to do the inspection, one of the things I look for is to make sure that the license plate lights are working. Then they'll go to the brakes, and this is a weird one. They'll take you on sort of this roller thing. You have to put the front wheels into this roller, and it just sort of moves it around. They'll test your brakes there halfway, and then all the way to the bottom, and then the back. And it's pretty crazy because what they're doing is they're, I think, testing that the brakes are braking in a balanced way on the axle. And you just press down as hard as you can, and the car starts shaking back and forth, and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to you know, have a break my car or something like that. But then they'll say, that's fine, and move on. And then they'll do the same with the back. They'll check for the suspension. And then after that, what happens? Then you go to this other part where you have to sort of, you know, slowly move the car into place so that the two wheels are in a certain position. And then the man goes underneath. He goes into this pit underneath your car. I always feel like I'm going to do something wrong and kill the guy. The car's going to crash down and kill him. And then you have to, and then he gives you all these instructions with this this speaker, which is sort of all scratchy. It's hard to understand what they want you to do, if you want the handbrake on or to release it or to have it in neutral. And then they'll tell you to start moving the steering wheel left and right in sort of almost a jerking motion, and also check out if everything under the car is looking okay. So as I said, they cover a lot of things. This last test, I had an elderly man come in. He was pretty mellow, nice guy, and he just, you know, went through the motions, and we looked at everything. And once you're finished, he tells you to pull out and park and wait for his final report. By then, you're pretty much sure what's going to happen, because if there have been any issues, they start to let you know as you go through the inspection. They start bringing up things. This time I noticed there hadn't been talked about anything, so it looked pretty good. But anyway, until you get that final report, which is immediately done, you know, a couple of minutes later, you get four possible results, I think. One is favorable, which means they stamp it and you can take your car and use it without any problem until the next time you have to go back. You might even get a favorable one with some minor defects. That means they saw something that was not a major issue, but that you need to have taken care of. Then it can be unfavorable, which is what happened to me with those with the lights for the license plate. With something as simple as that, as minor as that, so to speak, and they will make you go get it fixed, and once that's done, you're all set. And then you can get a negative result, which means the car is in such bad shape, or there's so many safety issues, or if there's one that's come up that can be a real danger to both the driver and other drivers, they will not let you take the vehicle off the property. But anyway, that has never happened to me, never happened to anyone I know, but I'm sure it does happen from time to time. Anyway, that is something that, as I said, if you have a car here in Spain and it's old enough, you can go through this inspection. It's certainly something, if you want to experience life in Spain, you should do the ITV car inspection at least once. Anyway, that will be all for this podcast of Talking Spain by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to leave us any comments, because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spaindemain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. And you can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And you can check us out on our YouTube channel, which is starting to grow. We're trying to get more videos out there, and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.